We shall now turn to the passage which we read together, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, and I would like to consider the Beatitudes this evening, verses 3 to 12. On Wednesday morning, I woke up with the word rejoice in my mind. I thought of several passages in the Bible that have the word rejoice in it. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. Rejoice, says Peter, with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And as I was thinking on the reasons that the Christian has to rejoice, my mind turned to the Beatitudes. The word blessed, what does it mean? Happy. Happy are they that are poor in spirit. If you're poor in spirit, rejoice. Be exceeding glad. A couple of weeks ago, I preached at a pre-communion service in Partick, and I spoke about the Beatitudes, but I looked at them from the aspect of marks of grace, the distinguishing features of God's people. Christ here is telling us about the citizens of his kingdom. He's saying, my people. You know what they are like? Well, my people, they are poor in spirit, they mourn, they are meek, they hunger and thirst after righteousness, they are merciful, they are pure in heart, they are peacemakers, and they are persecuted for righteousness' sake. So there you have eight distinguishing marks of God's people. And I was asking the folk in party to look into their own hearts. Do you have these marks? Are you God's people? It's so important to challenge ourselves in that way. But tonight, I want to look at the Beatitudes in a different way. I want to look at the second half of each Beatitude. The promises that are there. The blessings that belong to God's people. Too often we can be looking on the darker side, but we should look at the privileges that we have. We are a blessed people. If you're one of God's people tonight, you have every reason to be overflowing with joy. God has blessed you abundantly already, and he's going to bless you marvelously in the future. So let's look then at these eight Beatitudes, and we're looking particularly at how God's people are blessed and have every right to rejoice. First, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is yours. There you are, and you feel poor in spirit. You feel you're not what you should be. You're not the kind of Christian you would like to be. You're far from what you ought to be, but you're blessed. You're poor. You feel poor. You feel sad about yourself and about lack of prayer, your lack of godliness, your lack of evangelism, your lack of serving the Lord, and it grieves you that you're not a better Christian. But you're blessed. How are you blessed? You're blessed in this way, that the kingdom of heaven is yours. Heaven is yours. Other people, when they die, they'll go to hell. And at the present time, the vast majority of people who are dying are going to hell. Broad is the road that leadeth to destruction, and many are on it. A great river of humanity flowing into the lake of fire. What a thought. What a thought. But friends, you're not one of them. You're one whose heart has been changed. You've been given a concern about your soul. Your eyes have been opened. You've been awakened to your condition. You feel poor in spirit, but you're a happy person. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. You're very rich. So rich that you don't just possess a house. You possess a kingdom. And furthermore, it's not an earthly kingdom that's passing away, but a heavenly kingdom that will endure. Think of Theresa May. She's going to the country. She wants to be elected as Prime Minister for the next 5 years. She will be given a great position if she is re-elected. But you've got a far greater position. She's just Prime Minister of one country out of a couple of hundred countries in the world. And every country in this world is passing away. But you're going to be a king. And you're going to reign forever in an eternal kingdom. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Not just for 5 years, but forevermore. Think of the church of Laodicea. They were saying, well, they were a very prosperous people. They were rich and successful. I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And Jesus said to them, actually, you are poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold to make you really rich, spiritual gold. Think of the church of Smyrna. They were a handful of poor people in this pagan city, Smyrna. You are poor, Christ says to them in his letter to the church of Smyrna, but you are rich. Friends, you're poor, but actually you're rich. You might not have very much money in the bank. You might not own a great deal. But in actuality, you're amazingly rich. The kingdom of heaven is yours. And it's not just heaven in the future, because Jesus tells us the kingdom of heaven is among you. Jesus is the king, and he has ushered in this new kingdom. And all this kingdom is yours already in part. It's already yours, and yet in its fullness, in its riches, in its glory, it's still coming. The pearl of great price is yours, the treasure hid in the field. Rejoice. Blessed are ye poor. Do you see how blessed you are? Are you rejoicing? Then the second beatitude, verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they that mourn. It's not just any kind of mourning that's referred to here. But it's mourning over being poor in spirit. Mourning over your sins. Blessed are you that mourn. Mourning over your sins. Mourning over how poor you are spiritually. For you shall be comforted. There's a promise here. A promise from God who cannot lie. You shall be comforted. God himself is going to comfort you. You think of heaven. And one of the things we're told about heaven is this, that God shall wipe away all tears from your eyes. There's going to be no crying, no mourning in heaven. You mourn today, but you're not going to mourn in the future. There's another place, and people will be mourning there. They'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing their teeth, but you're not going to be mourning in the future. You're going to be rejoicing. And God will wipe away every tear. You're going to be so happy forevermore. In heaven, there's no illnesses. There's no disasters. No difficulties. No disappointments. No sin. No misery. And no tears. Blessed are ye that mourn. You shall be comforted. You shall be comforted even in this life, of course. You're mourning over your sins. But God has given you His Holy Spirit. And when His Spirit comes into your heart, He fills you with joy. Because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. When you become a Christian, there's a great love comes into your heart. Love for God. There's joy welling up within you. There's peace. There's comfort. Blessed are ye that mourn, you shall be comforted. Are you one of those mourners? Rejoice. God Himself has promised to comfort you. The third beatitude, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The meek ones, the humble ones, those who are not arrogant, those who are trusting in God, those who are not fighting for their own rights and demanding this and demanding the next thing. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What earth? Well, we think of the new heavens and the new earth. The earth which is eternal. The earth which is renewed. The earth which belongs to the children of God. You shall inherit the earth. The heavens and the earth where Christ dwells. The Lamb shall lead you to living fountains of water. And you shall be happy forevermore. Blessed are the meek. But it's not just the new earth that you're going to inherit. You're going to inherit this earth. Now you maybe don't have very much of this earth. You see other people and they perhaps have lots of position and power and material things. They seem to have so much of this earth. And yet, so many worries and stresses and strains and fears with it. But whatever little portion you have of this world, you have God's own assurance, God's own encouragement, God's blessing upon it. Blessed are the meek. It's not those who are arrogant, those who are pushing and shoving and fighting and struggling and demanding this and demanding the next thing that are blessed, but those who trust in God. Instead of anxiety, they cast their cares upon the Lord. Instead of fighting their corner, they rest upon Christ. And they bring their prayers to the Lord and they leave God to fight their case. And so they've got peace. And they know, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The lion's young may hungry be and they may lack their food. But they that truly seek the Lord shall not lack any good. Every good thing belongs to you. Blessed are you, meek ones. This earth is yours, and the new heavens and the new earth are yours forever. Rejoice. Our privileges are great. The fourth beatitude. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Verse 6, for they shall be filled. You know what it's like when you're maybe all day without food, you've perhaps missed a meal, and you've maybe been here and there, or traveling, or working, or something, and you're really hungry. And then a plate of good food is set before you. And you come with appetite to eat this food. The best sauce is hunger. If you're full, the most delicious food is unattractive. If you're hungry, any food is delicious. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, who want to be righteous, who want to be holy, who want to be godly, who want to be perfect as their Father in heaven is perfect. Are you hungering for righteousness? You will be filled. The self-righteous who are content with their own righteousness, who keep comparing themselves with others and think they're as good as the next one, well, there's no promise for them. But you who hunger and thirst after righteousness, rejoice. You shall be filled. You shall be filled in heaven, filled with the heavenly manna, filled with the fruit of the tree of life which is in the midst of the paradise of God, drinking from the river of the water of life. The Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed you and lead you to living fountains of water. Blessed are you who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. You are going to be filled. You're going to be filled forever. There are others, and they're going to be hungry with the pangs of hunger throughout eternity, pleading and praying for a drop of water to cool their tongues. But not you. You will be filled. Sitting down with Christ in his banqueting house, partaking of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Blessed are ye which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. You shall be filled in the next world, but you're going to be filled here too. He fills you. He fills you with the imputed righteousness of Christ. When you believe in Jesus, your sins are all pardoned, and you are accepted as righteous in God's sight. And not only do you have perfect righteousness, justified, but also he gives you his Spirit, working in your heart, making you righteous, imparting righteousness to you, transforming you, so that your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Because if you're no better than the scribes and Pharisees, you won't get into the kingdom of heaven. Be sure of that. There's no room for hypocrites in heaven. You have to be the genuine thing. But everyone who hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. Filled in this life with imputed righteousness reckoned to you, imparted righteousness, growing in righteousness, growing in holiness, and then one day filled abundantly in heaven, feasting on Christ forever. Verse 7, we come to the fifth beatitude. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. They shall obtain mercy. Mercy. We need mercy, don't we? We're sinners. We're all sinners. We're horrible sinners. We've done horrible things, even this past week. But God has mercy upon those who seek mercy from him for Christ's sake. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. If God were to deal with you and me as we deserve, we'd be roasted in hell forever. But God doesn't deal with us as we deserve. He deals with us in Christ, for Jesus' sake, because he died on the cross for us. Our sins are pardoned. We are accepted. We receive mercy. And we are blessed forever. And he says to us, "Come, ye blessed of my Father. Well done, good and faithful servant." And you and I think to ourselves, what have we ever done for the Lord? We've done nothing for you, Lord. And yet, he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." The mercy bestowed upon us. Blessed are the merciful, those who are compassionate, who are concerned about others, who see the needs of sinners around them, who are concerned for the souls of men and women, for their soul's salvation, who are praying for the lost, who are trying to reach the lost in different ways. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Obtaining it in this life, your sins are forgiven you every day, day after day. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are indebted to us. And the Lord does forgive us. And the blood of Christ washes our sins away. And although we go astray and we backslide and we act in a way that we shouldn't, yet time and time again, the Lord reaches to us in mercy, embraces us. And then we will enjoy mercy forever. Rejoice! God is merciful. And who is he merciful to? He's merciful to you. To you who trust in Jesus. To you who love the Lord. To you who are merciful towards others. The sixth beatitude. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I've seen some wonderful sights over the years. Remember being amazed standing at Niagara and looking at these mighty falls on the St. Lawrence River. Remember being amazed in India, standing at the Taj Mahal and looking at that amazing building inlaid with precious stones. Beautiful sights. I remember again being excited in Peru, seeing, traveling through the Andes, these mighty mountains. In Brazil, in the middle of the jungle, the beauty of it, the luxuriousness of it. Seeing the tea plantations of Sri Lanka. Seeing the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the River Jordan. But there's something far, far more beautiful, far more wonderful than all the sights you could imagine in this world, seeing God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. God. And you shall see him. And the psalmist says at the end of Psalm 17, when I awake, I shall see his likeness, his appearing. I shall be like him, for I shall see him as he is. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And you know, when you see God, it's something that will absorb your attention forever. Because God is infinite. Every sight here below, you look at it, you look at it, you walk round it, you look at it, you look at it, you walk round it, you maybe come back, but after a while you get tired and you move on. But God, there's more and there's more and there's more. The immensity of God, the infinity and boundlessness of God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Even in this life, though, yes, we see God. Those who are pure in heart, who are concerned about their heart sins, their sins of thought, and the purity of their heart. Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they shall see God. With the eye of faith, you see Him. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. How wonderful to see God. And this is the promise to you and to me. Blessed. You are blessed. You are rich. You have so much to be thankful for. You already see God in a kind of a way, by faith. The Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, dying for you, rising again. Your Father in heaven, the Holy Spirit. And one day you'll enjoy the beatific vision. Completely absorbed with the beauty of God. The seventh beatitude. Blessed are the peacemakers. Verse 9, for they shall be called the children of God. There's no higher position that you could possibly reach in this life or in any other life than to be a child of God. It's an amazing thing that God takes children of the devil, you and me. Children of a fallen Adam. Sinners by nature and by practice. So different from Himself. And He takes us and He makes us His sons and His daughters. What a blessing. What a privilege. What an exaltation. What a raising, as it were, from the dust to the highest throne, above every throne in this world. You are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. You're side by side with the Lord of all. You'll sit with Him in His throne. You'll dwell with Him in the house of many mansions. You are children of God. God is of mine inheritance and cup the portion. Exalted, so exalted. Blessed are the peacemakers. Those who are making peace between God and man. Who are seeking to convert the sinner and bring him to faith in Christ. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. We're called that even in this life. Yes, we're already the children of God. But oh, the fullness in the world to come. In fact, Paul says in Romans 8, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, waiting for the adoption of the children of God, waiting for the day when God's children will be revealed. In this world, you and I are the children of God, but we're hidden. People look at us and they despise us and mock us, and they think we're nothing special. But one day we will be special. And everyone will acknowledge us as special. And our enemies will lick the dust at our feet. And there we will be with Christ in His throne. Sons and daughters of God. Blessed. Blessed are you. Blessed are you, peacemakers. Blessed are you who see how men and women are under the wrath and curse of God. You've made your own peace with God, and you seek to make peace between men and women and God, and bring them to peace with God. You shall be called the children of God, and your Father in heaven will openly acknowledge and acquit you in the day of judgment. You've got a glorious destiny. And then the final beatitude. The eighth beatitude. Verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You who are persecuted, you who are laughed at, who are mocked, who are ridiculed, you who are despised, you who feel that, yes, the world is against you and they're always looking for some way to put you down because you're a Christian. You who suffer for the kingdom's sake, yours is the kingdom of heaven. There we have a repetition, don't we, of verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Well, what can be higher than the kingdom of heaven? It's repeated for us. We're told twice, yours is the kingdom of heaven. It's doubly yours. Heaven and all its riches is yours. But also a great company with you. Rejoice, verse 12, and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Your reward is heaven itself. The kingdom is yours. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Think of the prophets. Think of how they were persecuted. Some of them were mocked and they were despised and ridiculed and beaten and stoned and burnt to death. And you're in their company. And think of the apostles and the early Christians thrown to the lions, burnt at the stake. Think of the reformers, the martyrs. William Tyndale burnt at the stake. Thomas Cranmer, Bulner, burnt at the stake. Think of Patrick Hamilton and George Wishart. Think of Richard Cameron. Cargill, executed in the Grassmarket. What sort of company are you going to have in heaven? Those who go to hell, we can think of the company they'll be having. Murderers and rapists, blasphemers, fighters, drunkards, drug takers, child abusers, all kinds of wicked people. And the devil, Satan himself, and all the demons of hell, that's the company in the pit, full of hate, no love, no common grace there, but hatred and bitterness. But you, rejoice, you're going to have great company. You're going to be with the prophets. You're going to be with Enoch. And Abraham, and Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses, and David. And you're going to be with Isaiah, and Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, and Daniel. You're going to be with Peter, and James, and John. You're going to be with Luther, and Calvin, and Knox. George Wishart, Patrick Hamilton, William Tyndale. You're going to be with the godly. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, For great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You're a blessed people. It's good to think on the blessings that are ours. Blessings today, and blessings tomorrow, and blessings forever. Whatever we might lack in this world, whatever struggles and trials we might have, rejoice. You have a wonderful Father in heaven. You have a wonderful lover in heaven, Jesus Christ. You have a wonderful friend living in your heart, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And you've got a wonderful future, the kingdom of heaven. Children of God, heirs and joint heirs with Christ, dwelling forever in blessed company, seeing God and feeding forever upon Him. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven.